very word. And we're going to look at a number of passages of Scripture today. In the book of Proverbs, dealing with the lessons of faith that we learn from the sluggard. And so, the book of Proverbs, and we'll read first Proverbs chapter 6. Beginning in verse 6, down through verse 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Then Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. And then Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. And then Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. And then just a few more. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow in autumn. He will seek at harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 21, verse 25. The desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 22, verse 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I pass by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it, and I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Proverbs 26, verses 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Lord, come by your Spirit now and awaken us. Make us wise in you, Lord Jesus, to love you and to live for you. Don't let us sleep the sleep of death. Don't let us be a sluggard. Come by your Spirit. Speak your word, Lord, and awaken us to life in you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Carbon monoxide poisoning. Odorless. Gradually just putting you to sleep. And if you fall asleep under the effects of that, you will not ever wake up. Death. These verses of Scripture we have looked at from one perspective, dealing with this whole matter of the economic aspect of being a sluggard. And that is very real and very true, and it is going to be included in what we look at today. But the main focus of what we consider today is the application of these truths to all of life. God warns us in the book of Proverbs about a path that is kind of like spiritual monoxide poisoning, where we would just gradually be lulled more and more into a sense of complacency and ease and slumber as we just float along in the river of life, just mindless about what is going on around us, not really looking and analyzing at the things that are popular and that are in vogue and that are being taught and spread wholesale in our day. God calls upon us to awake from sleep. God calls upon us this day in the name of His Son for us to awaken from the slumber of sin and unbelief and to run afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to look at this matter of being a sluggard. You know, Scripture sometimes instructs us through positive commands. Honor your father and mother. And that includes things that you shouldn't do. And other of the commandments of God are put in the negative. Thou shalt not murder. And it also includes things that we ought to do. We ought to be protecting and showing respect and guarding the well-being of life. So these proverbs that warn us about the sluggard not only say, don't do this, but it is a call for us to end the place of sleeping the sleep of death, of being awake, of being those who are diligent, being those who are thinking clearly. Now let's begin looking at this whole matter by the very last of these proverbs that we considered, Proverbs 26, verse 16. And this matter of the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. This term, this phrase, sensibly, is a very interesting term in the Scriptures. It's used in the book of of Proverbs describing right judgment, describing us being those who would be answering in a sensible way, a right way. And the contrast is a sluggard is somebody who doesn't have sense. He can't see life. Let's go over to the New Testament, and one of the things that we see is that a sluggard is somebody who is spiritually asleep. And we'll look at a couple of passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And here we have a section in the book of Ephesians that begins up in verse 17 of chapter 4. Where the Lord says that we are to no longer, as God's people, think and live like unbelievers. But we are to think and live now in Christ Jesus by the Spirit of God. We're to put off the old man and put on the new man in Christ Jesus. And practically, what that looks like is that we are speaking the truth with one another. We're putting on truth. We're laying aside lying one to another. Instead of ugly things coming out of our mouths, because we belong to Jesus, we want edifying things to come out of our mouth. Instead of anger and hatred and malice capturing us, we are those who want to be kind and full of mercy to those around us. And so chapter 5 begins now describing more of this putting off the old man and growing in Christ. Look at verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so in this passage where he's describing that we're putting off the old man, where we are captured and animated by sinful lust, sexual immorality, and filthy talk, ugly words coming out of our mouth. In its place, we put on thanksgiving to God and a holy manner of living where we treat those around us with dignity and respect. We're learning what the will of the Lord is. We're learning to walk in the paths that honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not animated by a force outside of ourselves, drugs, alcohol, where we would say and do things that normally, apart from their influence, we would never say or do that. God says, put that off. And in its place, be controlled by something outside of ourselves that enables us to do things that normally we can't do. But be controlled, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does that look like? And so he gives us some examples. And we looked at this last week and saw that the living out the roles of husband and wife are in the context of him saying, now here's what it looks like to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of God. But notice, in the middle of this, he calls God's people to be awake. Look in verse 13. But when anything is exposed to the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now we want to look at just a few Old Testament passages that this quote is taken from. First of all, Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51. And here we have God calling upon his people to look to Jesus. Look at verse 1. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. And what was it that was Abraham's glory? It was that Jesus came and appeared to him and said to him, I am going to bless you and make you a blessing to all the nations of the earth. He says, learn of Christ from Abraham. From Sarah. Verse 3, for the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the Garden of Eden. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving in the voice of song. You want to have blessing? Is your life a desert or is it a taste of the Garden of Eden? Well, that answer depends upon whether you know Jesus. If you know Jesus, then your life, even in the midst of great difficulties and heartaches, you have the blessing of God, the presence of God, the saving work of Jesus. You are experiencing the mercy of God. But if you're apart from the Lord Jesus, no matter what your circumstances in life are, you are living in a desert. You are running from mirage to mirage, filling your mouth full of what you think, oh, now if I drink this, if I eat this, if I do this, if I have this, then life will be good. And over, you wake up and you go, oh, this isn't water, this is sand. I thought it was water. Oh, only Jesus can save. Verse 4, give attention to me, my people. Give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. Jesus is the light of the world. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Jesus is the hope of the world. The nations of the world don't have any hope apart from Jesus and his saving work the risen Savior. Lift up your eyes to heaven. Look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations. Awake, awake! Put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? And he's recounting how God rescued his people from bondage in Egypt. God's the Savior. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I am he who comforts you. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? And you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He is bowed down. He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people. Wake yourself. Wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem. You who have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering. There is none to guide her among all the sons she has born. There is none to take her by the hand among all the sons she has brought up. These two things have happened to you. Who will console you? Devastation and destruction, famine and sword. Who will comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of every street like an antelope in a net. They are full of the wrath of the Lord and the rebuke of your God. And therefore hear this, you who are afflicted, who are drunk, but not with wine. Thus says the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath. You shall drink no more, and I will put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, bow down that we may pass over. And you have made your back like the ground and like the street for them to pass over. And so he goes on talking about how the Redeemer was going to come. Look down in verse 7 of chapter 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And that's quoted over and over in the New Testament. And it's the message of salvation in the Lord Jesus. That's the message of hope. And God is calling upon people to awaken and run to the Christ and embrace him. Because only in Jesus is there life. Turn with me to verse 1 of chapter 52. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For there shall no more come into you the uncircumcised and the unclean. And where is their hope going to be? Verse 13 of Isaiah 52. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. Who's the servant? The Lord Jesus. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. And as many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. Thus he shall sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, For that which had not been told them, they see, and that which they have not understood, they heard. Then over in Isaiah chapter 60, and we're having to cut a lot of this short. Isaiah 59, let's look at the very end, verse 20. A Redeemer will come to Zion, and to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. And this is quoted over in Romans chapter 11. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words that I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of the mouth, your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your offspring or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, says the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And so these warnings in the book of Proverbs about being a sluggard, the heart of the matter is that if we do not see the brilliance of the light of Jesus, we have had spiritual carbon monoxide poisoning. And Jesus is calling upon you this day to awake. He's come into your home and He has grabbed a hold of you. And He's shaking you. He's saying, wait, whoa, whoa, you can't go to sleep. Come with me. Come on out here where there's good air. Come to Jesus so that you can have life. Arise, shine, for your light has come. So turn back with me to Ephesians 5 now. And this is the theme now that the Apostle Paul picks up. And he says, look, Christ is the light. Awake. Awake from your slumber. Awake from your spiritual carbon monoxide poisoning. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And so these passages, the sluggard, he doesn't know how to think. He doesn't know how to view even the most simple things in life because he doesn't have wisdom. The sluggard doesn't know how to answer with sense anything. Because he doesn't have life in Jesus. He doesn't have life in Jesus. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And here we have another passage that refers to this matter of spiritually being asleep and the call to awake in Jesus and then live for Him. Not just say, I'm trusting in Jesus, but to give yourself to Him, to follow Him. Romans chapter 13, we'll start reading in verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. You remember the Pharisee asked Jesus, what's the great commandment in the law? And Jesus quoted two verses from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the one who loves has fulfilled the law. Verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to satisfy its desires or gratify its desires. Here again, we have this call to awake, to have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, let me ask you, what is your condition this morning? What is your condition? Are you awake, or has the sleep of death overcome you? You can grow up in a Christian home and have the sleep of death. You can be the member of a visible expression of the body of Christ and be under spiritual death, to be a sluggard, to be one who is asleep, one who has no heart that is awakened by the grace of God to see the light of the world and to have a heart that burns with love for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your condition? Well, instead of being a sluggard, what should we do? Well, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And so if you are here today and you think, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person. You know, there are a lot of people I know who are a lot worse than I am. I mean, let me just rattle off a few of them. Hitler. I'm not anything like Hitler was. My neighbor. Oh, I'm a nice person. My neighbor, oh, they're mean and icky. You know, they just go out and curse over the least little thing. I don't do that. I'm a good person. That's the way you think. You're a spiritual sluggard. You're somebody who is wise in your own eyes. You're somebody who says, you know, I'm a good person. But Satan has come and he has blown his carbon monoxide over and over. No, the Lord says that He made us and that we are fallen in Adam and we are sinners. We are alienated from the living God, our Creator, and we need a Savior, and the only Savior is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Recently, one of my children was telling me about their worship time in their home. And they were reading in John chapter 15. And how Jesus is the vine and we're the branches. And this little one said, Daddy, I understand this. Jesus is the vine and we're just sticks. And if we don't belong to Jesus, He gathers the sticks up and burns them. Oh, how true that is. How profound. Now, do you see that, or are you a sluggard? Has death come and lulled you to sleep? Do you see your need of a Savior? Do you see that you and I have broken every one of God's holy commandments in thought, word, and deed? We've told lies. We haven't always told the truth. We've had unrighteous anger at times. We've acted upon that anger. We've tried to hurt people around us. We haven't always honored and obeyed our parents. We've thought and done impure things. We've taken things that weren't ours. Oh, we need a Savior, the Holy One, We will stand before someday and give an account. And unless we have the righteous robes of Jesus, we are exposed before Him. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. And look at verse 15. You remember our call to worship today. We talked about how the Lord says, I'm the owner of everything, and I've placed all of my affairs, all of my goods, into your hands, my stewards, and I'm going on a long journey, and I'm going to be gone a long time, and then I'm going to come and call to account how you have invested my resources, your time, your energy, your heart's desires, your very life. Have you invested it for Jesus, or have you squandered it? Look at Revelation 16. And we'll start reading in verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assembled them, and he goes on making application. But here we see this same thing. Now, you remember the little child's story about the emperor that had no clothes? Well, we've got a culture full of people who are naked and exposed in the sight of Almighty God. And they're lying to each other. They say, look at that garment. Is that not the most beautiful garment? Talking about all the make-believe solutions to man's condition and problems. Anything but Jesus is okay in our culture. You can have any solution offered except the Lord Jesus Christ and God's holy word. And God calls upon us today to awaken. Awake. Put your garments on. And the only garment that can cover you or me in the sight of Almighty God is the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. Put Christ on. That's what the book of Proverbs is calling upon us. That's what these sluggard passages, that's the heart of the matter. Now, we're going to stop because we want to talk about, well, after you've put Christ on, then what does it look like to be awakened? And we're going to go through and look at some of these sluggard passages and think together about practically what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so I don't want to just rush through this, but I want you to be thinking with me during this coming week. Well, what does it look like to be awake in Jesus? And just the two passages that we've read in the New Testament, in Ephesians 5 and Romans 13, I mean, that tells us a lot about what it looks like, doesn't it, to have Jesus on. You know, recently I read a blog from Ken Ham. And I don't know Ken Ham personally, but I love that brother. He is the guy who, you know, had the vision of building the art replica and the creation museum. Well, anyway, he announced in his blog about a alternative to Netflix and Amazon Prime. I'm getting disgusted. It's time for us to awake. It's time for us to awake. It's time for us to, as God's people, to say, no, I'm not going to go along with the perversion and the godlessness and the profaneness and the vileness that is against my sweet God, my sweet Savior. Anyway, in that little blog, he was announcing of an alternative streaming service that somebody, I don't know anything about it, but it thrilled my heart. I was thinking, praying just this past week, Lord, somebody needs to invent something. Come up with some business that would be a wholesome streaming alternative to these cesspools. You know? Have mercy on us. And so God calls upon us to awake. Husbands and wives loving each other. Awake. We've got work to do. Important work to do. To shine for Jesus. To shine in Jesus. To not be consumed by darkness. To not be lulled to sleep as a spiritual sluggard. Parents loving children. Children loving parents. Us learning of Jesus together and growing up in Him. The body of Christ, of us loving one another. Encouraging one another. Praying for one another. Bearing one another's burdens. Practicing hospitality one to another. That's what it looks like to awake. Using the means of grace. Reading the Scriptures, praying, gathering with God's people. All of these things are kind of viewed as just ho-hum things. But this is what it looks like to awake in Jesus. God, deliver us from being sluggards. God, deliver us. Lord Jesus, come and awaken us this day. Revive our hearts to hope in You, Lord Jesus. Revive our hearts to have a heart that burns with love for Jesus, that burns with love for His kingdom, that yearns to want to know more of His paths. Awake, O sleeper. Awake. Arise. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I don't want to be a sluggard. How about you? Damn old sluggards. Let's pray. Father, we beg that You would come by Your blessed Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, You're the vine, and we're the branches. And Lord, apart from You, we're just dry, dead sticks. And so, Lord, awaken us this day. Lord, revive our hearts to love You. Lord, the world scoffs. The world says that we're crazy. The world offers all of these mirages, illicit sex, just a license to be and do anything you want, to just live for yourself. And Lord, all of that is death. Oh, Lord, don't let us be wise in our own eyes. Lord, give us ears to hear You, Lord Jesus, calling us to repent this day and embrace You as our Redeemer. Awaken us. And, Lord, then give us great joy to walk with You day in and day out, clinging to You, Lord Jesus, being good stewards with what You have placed over us. Lord, we're excited to be Your children. We who have tasted of Your kindness, You have delivered us from being sluggards. And so, Lord Jesus, it is our heart's desire to delight in You, to be feeding upon You, to delight, to be seeking to make the most of the time to serve You. Lord, as we worship, that we would do it with all our being. As we work for You, we would do it with all our being. Lord, as we play, Lord, we would play for You. Lord, we would not be spiritual sluggards. Lord, You're worthy to be loved and adored and praised. So cleanse us, Lord. And we give ourselves anew to You. Lord, awaken us. Keep us awake. And we love you, Lord, and we love each other. Bless now as we continue to worship. In Jesus we pray. Amen.